With three books published just last year, Marek Toman is currently one of the most prolific of Czech authors. He last spoke to Radio Prague almost 3 years ago after he published a novel narrated by a building, the Černín Palace, seat of the Czech Foreign Ministry. Since then, he's written two other novels closely connected to historical Prague. Pavla Horáková asked Toman what it was about Prague and its particular districts that inspired him to write whole books about them.
For me, it is possibly a little bit difficult to reply because I am definitely insider, so take it objectively, it's quite difficult, but I can only say that I see some relation between the history of Prague, history of its quarters, and my own life, my own fate, particularly in the case of the quarters I am really personally related to, which are, first of all, Vinohrady, vineyards, the traditional quarter of Prague bourgeoisie. The quarter dates from second half of 19th century, actually, so it's quite recent, with very dynamic development and nice architecture, the city plan inspired by Paris, etc., and the spirit of a dream of a prosperous life, which was troubled by history after 1948 and the communist takeover, and now the city came to life again.
You also chose unusual narrators in your books. They are inanimate objects in two cases.
Well, in one case, it's a building itself, a Černín Palace, and in the other case, it's a statue of Neptune, so the god of sea. The statue really exists. It belongs to a nice villa with park called Grébovka, or Villa of Mr. Grébe, and there is artificial cave inspired by romantic ideas about landscape and park design, and there is the statue of Neptune, which so intriguing grimace on his face that I was somehow compelled to write a novel about him.
We should say that the novel is called Neptune's Cave. Your latest novel, The Eye of the Shark, is a concise history of the so-called short 20th century, as seen from angles that have not been explored in literature as much, I would say. One of them is the Czech hobby of leaving cities en masse for the weekend and spending it in the great outdoors. Where does this Czech tradition come from?
Definitely there was an inspiration by Hollywood film industry, because it's all started just after World War I with three American blockbuster movies of that time. One of them was called, for example, Liberty, and these were films about cowboys, Indians, wildlife, full of romantic situations and some adventure involved. And surprisingly, for continental Czechs living in civilized country, that became a source of inspiration to dress up like hunters and trappers, cowboys, Indians, and go to the wild nature some 20 kilometers out of Prague on a train or on a boat and to live a life in wilderness.
And the tradition still goes on?
The tradition still goes on, even with all the previous complications given by history, by Nazis and communists afterwards. But still there are people who believe in this, you called it hobby, but it's something more. It's like a living history of today. And the people really dress up in some established set of clothing. They have some communities. They stick to some sort of codex, and they really live a different life than on working days.
So it's more like a lifestyle.
Definitely.
The novel mixes fact and fiction, real personalities and fictitious ones. Weren't you afraid that the reader might be confused? Because for someone who doesn't have a thorough knowledge of history, it might be difficult to distinguish fact and fiction.
I would say that there is a confusion as a core of history, because I refer in the novel to one very famous photography. It's called Falling Soldier. It's a picture made by Robert Capa in 1936, which is absolutely, utmostly influential picture, but last several decades it's also hugely discussed if it is a fake or not. So this picture, which started its life as icon of sincere fight for democracy, is getting very much troubled. And in this situation, we can actually build on this, we can develop our own story, we can imagine how it possibly could have happened, and this gives me and my reader the space to fabricate dreams and to see if it works or not. I mean the text, which then emerges from all of this.
Which brings me to another question. One of the historical figures in the book is the Czech communist journalist Julius Fučík, executed by the Nazis, author of the famous Notes from the Gallows book that we all learned about under communism. Is it still the most translated Czech book ever, as one of your characters says in the book? And what was it about Fučík that inspired you? Was it also this myth combined with possible forgery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of the genre of report or journalist writing, it's definitely still the most translated book. And you have said that Julius Fučík, who is in my country somebody like Ernest Hemingway, or who used to be someone like Ernest Hemingway, probably, he is not really known and discussed today, but it all started with reading the Notes from Gallows, because I have noticed that there are some suspicious spots in the text where you can clearly see that even though the author wanted to claim something and to probably cover something, he left some traces. And the book itself, it's a story of heroism of the author and of betrayal of one of his companions. And well, when he speaks about his companion, the traitor, I could clearly see that there is something more about that probably the author would like to cover, to hide some story, some real story, and that was for me the starting point, to find the real story behind this iconical text. The same case as with the picture of Falling Soldier by Robert Capa.
In your books, you often combine the present and the past, history and the present. Is it something that you do consciously, or is it something that the plot itself requires?
Definitely I write about stories that are very much intriguing for myself. So it starts from really personal fascination. Then I write about stories that are more or less clearly defined, speaking of good and evil, good and bad. So the iconic moral stories of history. But then I try to complicate it a little bit, and I bring the human aspect to the story, and I bring some problems. I start a different narrative about the old, cemented, well-known story, and I create a different one.
On a different topic, you seem to like meeting your readers. You perform the staged version of your Squinty Jim's Cafe book for children. You also organize walks around the districts of Prague that you write about. Do you think it's useful for the authors to once in a while leave their desks and meet their audiences?
So for me, it's not only about promotion of the books. It's also, as you have said, about meeting the people, because I really I test the text, and when I send my emotion on the walk or on the stage to the audience. I am really waiting for the wave which could be coming back, but which also couldn't. So I'm really waiting for some proof that the people are on the same wave. And if this happens, I am happy, and I hope that the same applies for the text itself.
And can you use this experience further in your writing?
I think it's a part of the same bunch of emotions and morals and ambitions. So I think that I am physically doing the same as when I am writing, when I also would like to move the people, to get them interested, to get them angry maybe, to make them laugh, cry, and so on.
And one last question. You have a radio background yourself. Did it somehow influence your writing career, apart from direct inspiration for one of your books? Or do you consider writing for radio and writing books just two aspects of the same job?
Well, there is definitely something in common, speaking of radio journalism and writing of fiction, because in both cases you are not directly talking to your audience. There is some barrier. On radio you are just talking to black hole, as we call it, probably in English as well, or there is some maybe other saying. So it's similar with literature. You also don't know. You have to hope that you could be able to transform your own energy and feelings through text or through broadcasting or internet broadcasting, whatever. So this is very much similar. And besides the difference given by technical difference, technical means and so on, still, there is something similar in both cases, because on one hand, radio broadcasting, it's very technical, but book publishing, that's also paper and print, or maybe PDF something, but still.
The writer Marek Toman, who was speaking there to Pavla Horakova.